It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sundays are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scar. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sundays come. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning, and evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the earth trembles, the sky grows dark, my king yields his spirit. It's Friday, hope is lost, death has won, sin has conquered, and Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday, Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
Let me welcome you here to Grace Baptist Church on this Resurrection Sunday. Thank you so much for being here. And if you're visiting with us, thank you for being here. I'm going to ask my ushers if they would come at this time. And we would like to give you a special visitor welcome packet if you have not received one yet. As they turn around and start making their way back, please just raise your hand. They'll see that and make sure you get one. Now, all you have to do with that, all I'm asking, is inside there's an information card. If you could fill that out for me in the next few minutes, and then when the offering plate comes around, just place that in the offering plate. The men will see that I get that, and I do hope that I'll get to meet you and shake your hand on the way out this morning. Let me go ahead and cover some of our announcements before we do continue with our service here today. I want to read a thank you note from Steve Brannon. It says, thank you for the crossword puzzle book, the deer mug, and snacks. They all came in handy during my overnights in the hospital and since I have been home as well. And if you're wondering what that's all about, instead of just taking flowers to someone in the hospital, we've decided to kind of make things a little more personal. So there's some ladies that take the time to make up a little hospital survival bag, you might call it, with all kinds of things in there that you would need while you're in the hospital. The only thing that was missing was Krispy Kremes and coffee. But we'll work on improving that bag as time goes on. Also, if you've looked at the bulletin, you'll notice that Pastor Taylor McManigill has accepted our call to him to come and be our assistant pastor here at Grace, and we're really excited about that. He will be coming later this Sunday, later this summer, and he has some obligations at his current church that he needs to wrap up before he feels like he could appropriately step away from that ministry. So please be in prayer for him and his wife, his kids. If you've moved before, you know there's lots of details that have to be figured out, like, I got to sell my house. One of those little things like that, right? So just be in prayer for them, and God would continue to give them wisdom and open and close doors for them. Also, this Thursday, the Park Glen Bible study. Please take note, if you're part of that, the place has changed. You're going to be meeting this week at Elfrida Zachary's place. So make a note of that. And if you're coming to the ladies' and girls' brunch, which is at 10 o'clock this coming Saturday, we need you to sign up. The ladies need you to sign up so they could plan appropriately. Next Sunday, there is an assisted living service at Hickory Estates, so please plan on that at 2:30. And then our annual joy trip to Arthur. And if you've been on that before, we always have a great time. So far, we've always come back safe and sound, too. So that's a bonus. But we're planning on heading that way again on Monday, May 6th. And again, we need you to sign up so we can plan on the transportation. If there's a whole lot of you, then we're going to pull out the big bus. And y'all can ride over on the uncomfortable school bus. I just scared off about a dozen of you right there. That's coming up May 6th. Sign up sheets in the lobby. And then the teens have an activity coming up as well. Teen bowling and ice cream. And what's cool about this is the bowling is free. That's pretty good. All you have to do is bring money for your ice cream or whatever snacks you would like to get while you're at the bowling alley. Now, also, I wanted to give you an update on one of our missionaries, Dana Dice. We had helped contribute to his building fund. They're looking at a building there in New York City. In comparative standards, it's a small building, kind of, and not very glamorous, but it's a New York City price of $1.2 million. And they're trying to raise funds to make an offer on that building. Right now, they're at $181,000 that they have put together between their church members and then others that have helped contribute to that fund. Now, last Sunday night, I had announced that the building had gone into contract with another potential buyer, and that was a real disappointment to Brother Dice. But he's been praying about it. I've been praying for him. Others have been praying about it. And he just alerted us to this truth. His real estate agent did some digging and found out it's not under contract. And the owner is very interested in the offer that Brother Dice is prepared to make of $1.2 million. And was a little hesitant when he found out that Brother Dice only had $154,000 in the bank. See, the difference is what's been promised but hasn't come in yet. And so the buyer or the seller kind of backed off at that point. So Brother Dice is offering 5% down as a down payment to initiate the contract. So please continue to pray about that matter there, that God would just work in people's hearts, and our missionary there in New York would be able to get a building all of their own and get out of that storefront property that they're in now. Well, I think that's it by way of announcements. Let's go back to our service, page number 325.
All stand as we sing together, "Lo, in the grave he lay, but Christ arose," page 325.
They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify him, he's to blame. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. Precious head, they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, behold the king. They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. Suffered everything. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. Of shame he took alone, and when he cried, "It's finished," he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died.
Mr. Tippett, don't you know every word of that song is true? Man did all he could do. The devil did all he could do to stop Jesus. But then Jesus gave. It's like John 3:16 reminds us. He gave. Let's sing together a great victory song, He Lives, page 327. Just remain seated and sing with us that great song, He Lives.
I'll ask our ushers if they would come, please, as we continue to worship through our giving here this morning. All right. Tim, would you lead us in prayer?
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Let's join together again as we stand and sing, Christ the Lord is risen today. Song service today and enjoying this great Easter service that we have.
I like that short video there. That was Friday, but this is Sunday.
I
had a tape. I was telling the preacher. He looked at me and he said, "What's a tape?" Of the guy's name is Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. And the tape I had is his sermon is, "Do You Know Him?" That's the way he talks. Oh, he's powerful. But this is Sunday. All right, Carlton, let's see if we can do this.
He is risen. lost man in his sin. The harvest fields are ripened, but the laborers are few. My friend, we need to hear the angels say, he's not
take your Bibles with me this morning and open them to Romans chapter 8. There's a few verses I'd like us to look at here this morning. Romans chapter 8. One Easter, there was a father who took his family to church. And the children, they weren't really used to going to church. So this is a different thing for this family to do. And as they're at the church, the dad begins to explain to his five-year-old son, Sean, the whole Easter story as we know it. He said, Sean, do you see that cross there in front of the church? Well, a long time ago, Jesus, God's only son, was nailed to the cross by the people, and then on the third day, he rose again. Well, Sean didn't say a word. So his dad repeated it. Sean, do you understand that the people nailed Jesus to the cross? And Sean began to look around nervously at all the people left and then right, and asked with a whisper, Dad, these people? Well, I can assure you today that you are among friends, but little Sean was right with his question. For you see, it was our sins that nailed Christ to the cross. Jesus died for these people, so to speak, for you and for me. Jesus died in our place. He died for our sins. The good news of Easter is he arose from the dead. He is alive, as you've heard so many times this morning already. Look with me in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, as we look at this passage this morning as we consider all that you have done for us with not just your crucifixion, but your resurrection and what that means to us today. God, help us to have understanding, but more importantly, God, I pray your Spirit would touch ours and it would be more than an intellectual understanding, but a spiritual awakening in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, all of the odds makers would agree that a man by the name of Lee Capps ought to be dead because of what happened to him on March 20th, 1996. He didn't know how to fly, but he took off in a Cessna 206 float plane with a friend who was a pilot. But when they got up to cruising altitude, his friend, the pilot, had a heart attack and died, leaving Lee alone in the cockpit of a plane he didn't know how to fly. So Lee pushed his friend off of the controls, grabbed the radio, cried out for help. That makes sense, right? An air traffic controller in Renton, Washington, heard his cry, and he said, "It's your lucky day. Not only am I an air traffic controller, but I'm also a flight instructor. Would you be interested in a few flying lessons?" Gotta love an air traffic controller with a sense of humor, right? Being very interested, Lee actually said this, "I'll take whatever lessons you can give me." And so the air traffic controller began to explain some basic maneuvers of how to fly an airplane. And then he said, "Lee, I think, you know, you're going to have to take a shot at landing." So he talked Lee through the descent and helped him point the plane toward a watery runway, Lake Washington. Clips on the news networks showed the landing on the lake on Lake Washington near Seattle. It wasn't a graceful approach. He came in like some described a drunk duck, all over the place. And after hitting pretty hard and collapsing the floats, the plane slid out of the water onto the runway of the Renton Municipal Airport. But miraculously, Lee Capps walked away with only minor injuries. Afterwards, a reporter had asked the air traffic controller, "Did you really think you could talk that guy down and that he would actually walk away from this?" The traffic controller, he said this, "I knew this was a long shot." Lee Capps, we then could say, he defied all odds, but he made it. He landed an airplane having never flown before. There are a lot of people who make it their profession to be odds makers, people who figure out life insurance actuary tables, owners of casinos, stockbrokers. Some people make a living by sorting out the sure things from the long shots in their careers. For example, there are people who can tell you mathematically that your car is about 38 times more likely to get stolen if it's a Corvette as opposed to being a Ford Escort. That's why my wife drives an Escort. And if you're still driving, now some of you won't even know what this is. If you're still driving a Ford Pinto, it is mathematically impossible for it to be stolen. Leave your keys in the ignition. The thieves are going to walk right on by that. I remember as a boy, my dad had bought a used Cadillac, and it was pretty. It was a Florida car. We lived in Michigan. It was this beautiful, older style Cadillac, and I think he was overcome with the visual beauty of this car. It was a diesel. Had an older style diesel engine. I don't know anything about diesels, but apparently this wasn't a good thing for him. And the car wasn't. It was a nightmare. It was a mechanical nightmare. I remember after he'd had it for a while, he had to fly out of Detroit on some business. So he drove his Cadillac to Detroit, parked it in the airport parking lot, left the keys in it, and flew off. To his dismay, when he came back, the car was still there. They didn't even want that. There are people that can tell you mathematically that you're probably like 10 times more likely to get injured riding a bike than driving a car. Now, this was interesting. I read the odds are greater that you will fall out of bed, hit your head, and die than winning the lottery. So why not save some money, skip buying the lottery tickets, and take your wife or friend out for dinner? How about that? Or I got a better idea. If you do play the lottery or you gamble, things like that, do me a favor. I'm going to help you win, guaranteed win, more money this year than you did last year. I want you to go back last year and, if you can, figure out how much money you spent gambling last year, okay? Okay, because for sure you came out less than rather than ahead. So you lost money last year. Tell me how much you spent last year. And now this year, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give that all to me. I'll give you half back and you'll come out ahead over last year. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? People who make their living by figuring out odds like these are usually pretty accurate mathematically. Yet the odds makers were wrong about Lee Capps. He defied the odds. In Jesus' day, the odds makers were wrong about whether or not he was going to come back from the grave. But he did. They thought Jesus' resurrection was a long shot. It was a very long shot, in fact. Call it 1 billion to 1, 1 trillion to 1. It never happened before. Oh, there were a couple of Old Testament saints that were raised from the dead, but they died again. But Jesus came back from the dead to live forevermore. There's an empty tomb in Israel that still bears witness to that historical fact for those who believe in the resurrection. Here's a question for you. What has God given us right now? Here's the answer. The Spirit of God lives inside our bodies, as we just read in our passage. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 tells us that. Paul teaches us that everyone who believes in Christ has the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of them. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ are the same. The Holy Spirit. Verse 10, it says the body is dead. That means the body is mortal and will one day die. But the Spirit of God, it says, makes you alive. It quickens you. It makes you alive spiritually because God gives you his righteousness. Those with his righteousness live forever. Amen. What has God promised us for the future? Well, here's the answer. The Spirit of God will raise us up from the dead. The very same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is that very, think of it, that very same power is dwelling inside of you right now. So those of you that woke up this morning, as I find myself doing many mornings, as you're trying to get out of bed, right at that moment, remind yourself, I have this incredible power living inside of me right now. Who needs that cup of coffee anyway? Yep, hands going up all over. Let's be realistic, folks, right? What does it take to raise someone from the dead? Medical science can't do it. Positive thinking can't do it. False religion can't do it. Witch doctors can't do it. It would take a miracle to raise someone from the dead. It would take the power of God to raise someone from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is a historical fact that this did take place. It is a dramatic and wonderful display of the glory and power of God. The angel descended from heaven in his brilliant and shining glory, rolled away the stone, not so the Savior could come out, but to let the disciples in. In a moment, early Sunday morning, Jesus, who was once dead, became gloriously alive. In great glory and power, Jesus Christ arose. He arose. His body literally came back to life. It wasn't just a spiritual resurrection. It was a literal, bodily, physical resurrection. Folks, you cannot be saved without believing in the resurrection. To deny that is to deny the power that it takes to spiritually raise you from the dead. Easter reminds us that long shots still happen. This morning, let's do this. I'd like to take the role of a spiritual air traffic controller and give you a little spiritual encouragement and point you to the runway, so to speak. The glory and the power of the resurrection can make a difference in your life. The glory and power of God, how about this, for your past? Those who grew up in a family that maybe didn't work out so well, what kind of family did you grow up in? Do you have good memories of your childhood or your teen years? Or do you, as I'm afraid many people do, have painful memories? Easter is a time to see family, or at least call them. Many have told me that something on the inside of them got broken in their childhood because of what happened. Now they're halfway through their life, and they're starting to think that what's broken can't be fixed. That the wrongs from the past will never be righted. Too many people feel like they are damaged goods. I wonder how many people, even here in this room this morning, are living right near the edge of that cliff called despair because of their past. Maybe you grew up in a family where anger, shame, abuse were going on, or maybe it's just a family with a lack of love. You just haven't been able to get beyond it. Many young people justify their sinful ways, their foul mouth, by blaming their parents. You've heard it before, right? Maybe we've said it before. I am this way because of my dad. I get this from my parents. The Bible says every one of us will give an account of ourselves before God. And when I do that, it's just going to be me standing before a holy, righteous God. And he's not going to care to hear about my daddy and the way my dad was, or what my dad did when I was younger, or what this other person in my life did to me, or the influence these people had on my life. Doesn't matter. Because in every single moment in my life, I made a choice. I look back at those choices. I know I've kind of thrown this out to y'all before at different times. For example, how many of you, if I was going to give every person that came to church next Sunday $1,000, how many of you would be here? And if you bring a friend, I'll give you $2,000. Wow, this place would be packed, wouldn't it? So next Sunday, don't tell me you couldn't make it to church. So I've taken that and I've asked myself that question about my past. Every one of those decisions that I made that I thought, oh, I couldn't help it. If someone had offered me as a teenager with all those bad decisions, if someone would have offered me $1,000 to make a different choice, I could have made a different choice. So what does that leave me? That leaves me with all of my choices that I made in life are just that, choices that I made. And the God of this Bible tells me that one day everyone will stand before God and give an account of themselves to Him. This Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday, the Bible says to you, if the odds are stacked against you in this life, whatever you do, don't give up. Don't cave in to despair. Don't turn from the runway that's laid out before you and crash. The resurrection, it says you can overcome those odds of your past. The Bible says there is a loving heavenly Father who is ready and willing to adopt you into His spiritual family, regardless of how dysfunctional, messed up, crazy your earthly family is or was. The key words here are forgiveness and spiritual healing. Resurrection power, it can bring healing to your heart. God can reparent you. You can forgive those who have sinned against you. You can find spiritual healing even if you grew up in a family that didn't work well. As a spiritual air traffic controller, I've got to say just what that man said to Lee Capps. You've got to point this thing toward the runway and give landing a try. Folks, you may feel like you are stuck because of your upbringing, because of your genes, because of your schooling, but today you can take a step of faith toward Christ and receive forgiveness and spiritual healing. Look with me at verse 11 again. It says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, that's the Spirit of God who raised up Jesus from the dead, if that Spirit dwell in you, then He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Folks, this is for you. This, you can join God's spiritual family if you're saved, determined today to make your spiritual growth an absolute priority in your life. Not something you sprinkle with every once in a while on a Sunday or when you decide to do it. Make it a priority, as Christ made dying for you a priority. He never said, well, I'm kind of busy today. I don't really feel like it. This is an inconvenience. You know, all the things that the excuses we make for not growing spiritually. Christ made us a priority. There's another group with a troubled past, we might say. This is the group that has had a devastating loss of some kind. Have you experienced a devastating loss? Maybe you think life is never going to be the same again. When Israel's prime minister, Yitzhak Rabin, when he was assassinated, his widow, Leah Rabin, said in an interview that on most days she felt like Mount Everest was sitting right on her chest, crushing what was left of her life. Some of you perhaps can relate to that feeling. Parents who have lost their children, children who have lost their parents. Death, folks, is no stranger to any family. It does visit every single home. Others have lost their partner or children through the agony of a divorce. And yeah, that is an agony. This may be your first Easter alone, and it feels crushing. Some people lost a job, or they're in a crumbling marriage, or your health is crumbling, and you wonder if maybe this is the last Easter you're going to be around. Some of you, like Leah Rabin, perhaps lie in bed at night and feel Mount Everest on your chest. I have to ask you this question. What are your plans? Because if you do nothing, you will most certainly sink into despair. You'll say, the odds are stacked against me. So this morning, this Resurrection Sunday, let me remind you, there is a loving God who sees your problems and cares more than you know. God is reaching out to you to receive you into his family. As a church, like Andrew the apostle, we help bring people to Christ. And once you are a Christian, we then help build up your faith in Christ. The disciples, wow, they had just lost their friend, their Messiah. But on Sunday, he appeared to them alive and gave them new hope. Would he do anything less for you and me? As your spiritual air traffic controller, let me urge you to reach out in faith and take hold of those hands of a caring God who are already outstretched waiting for you. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He invites you to come. You can figuratively crawl out from underneath that Mount Everest. He offers you the grace of God to face any loss this side of heaven. Some are getting over a difficult past. Some are getting over a devastating loss. There is resurrection power for your past and your loss. But there also is help for those with a case of the ordinaries. That's a lot of us right there. Let me explain what I mean by that. Many people have given up hope a long time ago that their life could ever be anything more than ordinary. Feel like that, right? People who vote, pay their taxes, raise their kids right, but their dreams have slowly kind of faded over time. Life is just mediocre. Shortly after Jesus' resurrection, he stood before a group of ordinary people, plain Jane people, and shattered their case of the ordinaries by saying this to them. He said, soon the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And with that power, you ordinary people, you will become witnesses for me. And against all odds, you ordinary people, when that power from heaven comes upon you, because of that power and you being a witness for me, you will play a part in turning this world upside down. And that's exactly what these ordinary people did when that happened. How could they have done that? Here's how. I studied it out. I've been studying it for months, digging into the Greek and Hebrew. How did they do it? One life at a time. That's it. That is God's marketing program as you look at God's word. All of the marketing experts today would be out of a job. Here's what the way God devised it to happen, and guess what? It worked. one life at a time. Ordinary guys like you and me, beginning with our own little circle of family and friends. That's where we start. That's where you start, your own little circle of family and friends. You don't start in Bible college, okay? You don't start with any advanced training. You just start where you are with what you know. And then you'll get to help other people outside of that. People who are filled with guilt, shame, they're going to find forgiveness in Christ because of you, an ordinary person. When you help people find forgiveness, here's what happens. I speak to it from my own personal experience with me. Here's what happens when you find forgiveness. Your lives change. Hope becomes a reality. So you can play a vital role in introducing people to Christ. How do I know that? You might say, well, you don't know about my stutter or my mind goes blank and I can't think of the right words to say. That's not my mind, that's not your mind, that's God's mind. He put within you in his spirit with the power that raised Christ from the dead, living inside of you, says, go, I'm going with you. I'll do this through you. When you help people find forgiveness, it is such an amazing thing. You can play such a vital role in helping people come to Christ. Now, I know, it sounds like a long shot. But we're in a church today, right now, because that group of ordinary people with a severe case of the ordinaries 35 years ago believed their lives could make a difference. I said earlier that death visits every home, and that's true. Death will visit your family and you sooner or later. How is he known? The Grim Reaper, so to speak, knocks at your door, and your spirit gives your body breath for the last time. And then it's gone. Your spirit's gone. But gone where? The Bible clearly teaches our souls consciously live on in heaven or in hell. The body turns to dust, but the soul, the real you, lives to rejoice in heaven if you are saved. Why? Because of God's forgiveness. That's the only reason. This soul could never do enough good things to earn God's favor of me. Or your soul goes on to suffer in hell. That's what the Bible says. Why? Because of God's justice. He simply cannot allow sinful beings in his presence. But you can have assurance of heaven. Job said this in Job chapter 19, verse 25. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at that latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." You can share, my friend, you can share God's love and truth with your family and with your friends. Every person without Christ has a feeling of terror in their soul about dying. Yes, every person does. Most of the time, they'll not admit it. Most of the time, they medicate it or numb it with all of the activities in life. But that knowledge is placed there by God. It's there. You can be the messenger of great news, the greatest news of all, in fact. Jesus lives and Jesus saves. Easter Sunday reminds us of resurrection power. Jesus is alive, folks. The power that brought Jesus back from the dead is available to you and to me. You may be wondering if you can really make a real difference. You're ordinary. If you can make a real difference in the lives of your family and your friends. Now, can I say this? It may seem like a long shot, but with God's help and power, it's possible. Let's pray. Father, God, we thank you for what happened this day that we celebrate, the resurrection, this intense, incredible power that was demonstrated to the world. This same intense power that you have placed inside of us through your Spirit as Christians. God, we thank you for that. And yet you did not give us that power just so we could get out of bed in the mornings, but to do something with it. Lord, please speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads